What is the purpose of life? Where did you come from? Is there life after death? Is there a heaven? Is it real? And how do you get there? Why do you struggle to do good? Why do bad things happen to good people? How do you live victoriously when there's unfair circumstances all around you? How do you be a good parent? How do you find the right spouse or boyfriend or girlfriend or future person to marry? How do you know if you're disciplining your children the right way? I'm going to give you the keys to every single one of those questions this morning. That's quite a bold... It is. Thank you. Statement.
You say you're going to be 30 minutes?
In 30 minutes, I will give you the answers, or the ability to find out those answers yourself. Spend time in the Word. That's the key to it. The key and the answer to all of life's questions is found in God's holy word, the Bible. I'm going to talk this morning about something I don't think, shared about. I think this is one of those Christian disciplines that we just assume you learn in Sunday school, or you just know you're supposed to do. Pastors reference it a lot, perhaps, behind the pulpit, but I don't know that we really talk about the importance of a personal devotion time. And so this morning, I'm going to take a little bit different kind of teaching this morning and go back to a basic, which we all know, but we don't have down in our heart, most of us, really. And I want to talk about personal devotions. It's a time really set aside each day for prayer, Bible scripture, but really just personal union with and communion with the God the Father. And I want us to turn to 2 Timothy this morning, chapter 3. I've got a lot of scriptures. I'm not going to have you turn to any other passages but this one, because we just don't have time to get to all of them this morning. But why is the daily practice of reading scripture and prayer important? I'm going to give you the answer to that in two verses. Someone once said, the gospel brings us to God. Personal devotions keep us close with God. I believe that to be true, is that God's word, the message of salvation in Jesus Christ is what ultimately brings us to God, is where we come into this place of right understanding with him, and we want to be a better person, and we no longer live for ourselves, but that's not where it stops, is that we must continue on getting to understanding Jesus Christ and him crucified, getting to understand God the Father and in his heart behind everything that's written in Scripture. And this is where we have recorded in Scripture in one of our verses for home groups, to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is that after salvation, the time of what we would think of as you at the altar when you invited Jesus into your heart, is that you're not done there. Is that you must grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so we do this. Why do we do this? 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 says, all, that's a good word to underline, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Stop there. All scripture, all of it, every of, every word a, every word in, is inspired by God. Everything that happens bad, all the people that were cut and torn into pieces in the Old Testament was inspired by God. We don't often think about that, do we? Oh, we like the good John 3:6, that was definitely inspired. All the rape and the theft that's recorded in Scripture is inspired by God and useful for correction, for teaching, for reproof, for training in righteousness. This word, inspired by God, it's a fantastic Greek word. We could spend the whole day on it. It's theopneustos. It's God breathed, is literally what this means. All Scripture is literally God-breathed. And I did a little digging on this word breathe because it's a dead root as we know it in Greek now. And when it's every time it's used in the Bible, it's not just talking about this light breath. Remember Jesus said that he breathed the Holy Spirit on them? I'll breathe on you and you'll receive the Holy Spirit. It's actually a different word in Greek. This word breathe, it's a picture of wind. When Paul was out in the storms, in the boat, in the end of Acts chapter 27, this is the wind was blowing. Wind blew was that word. There's other times in storms when the wind was, it's kind of this picture of a gale force wind. Every time in the New Testament that it was used, this is the word that is used for it. So God didn't just lightly. We just have this picture of how gentle the Holy Spirit is sometimes, don't we? It is not pneuma. The word actually the Greek word itself is just neo, and they take it in a different form because of the ending. But this is neo. So here we have this light, gentle blowing, what we often picture, and we have this really what God is, God breathed or inspired word of God is this gale force wind of inspiration. That God is just speaking, and it's almost like he's commanding these words to come alive, if you can just picture it this way. Again, we could spend the whole time on that, but we're not going to do that. So I'm going to give a few reasons of why we should study the Bible. One, because we should study the Bible because it's God's word to us. It's literally God's word. He breathed it. These are his very words. Now, I don't know how many of you would be so much more excited about attending Tridestone if we said, Jesus is going to be preaching next week here at Tridestone. How many of you think you would prioritize Jesus, you know, being here to hear him? No offense, Pastor. These are God's word. We should have the same level of commitment and excitement about reading Scripture as we would attending church to hear Jesus preach. That's the reality. It boils down to that. We know this, but the problem is that we don't actually do anything about it. Is that this is God's very words to us. That's a pretty simple reason to read the word, if you ask me. We'll go on, because I believe there's a whole lot more. You could stop there. I believe you should read and study the Bible because there's so much false teaching. The Bible is the measuring stick for how you compare and know what is right versus wrong. Not by what your pastor says. Do never take my word for it. Ever. That's how churches get into weird things. I want you to look it up in the Scripture for yourself and see what I have to say is true or not. Use everything that is said, whether me or someone else, back it up to the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of the soul and spirit, both joints and marrow, able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the Word of God does what now? Wait a second. We like that verse, right? Have we ever thought about the Word of God actually judges the thoughts and intentions of the heart? That's a good reason to read it, if you ask me. It allows us to be certain of what God said. The Bible is our final authority. Jesus said in his prayer in John chapter 17, verse 17, he says, your word is truth. We can actually believe the word of God because Jesus said this is truth in his prayer. You should read and study the Bible because it equips you to serve God. What? Yes, it does. 2 Timothy 3:17, look down at the verse. So that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Is that what your Bible says too? Is that all Scripture is inspired and given to us for all of these reasons so that we may be equipped just to sit idly at home, right? We are actually supposed to read and study the Scripture so that we are equipped to serve. Now, here's something I want you to think about. This is important to note. is that you can serve God without the scripture really in your soul. That you can try your best. You think you can serve him, and to some degree you may have some success. You can do good things. You can clothe the naked. You can feed the hungry. And you can do it in love and perhaps even with right motives. But I want you to see what this verse says. It says it is actually going to equip you for that service. So instead of just clothing people in Caleb's closet, is that as we are reading the scripture and getting it within our soul, we then have a different attitude and approach to how we serve those around us. That you no longer worship because you think you have a great talent on the piano. You are worshiping and serving God because you have the word living inside of you. And it gives you a different outlook. So you begin to worship with the menial tasks of life. So instead of coming to church and saying, I dread this. I dread that I have to lock up and secure the church when everyone else leaves. I would love to get home early. I dread that I have to wake up and go get the coffee ready for Sunday school. You start to see, God, thank you that I get to do this because I know that your word is going to be speaking to people, to your very people while I'm at church. You should read and study the Bible because it tells us who he is. John 5:39 says, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these, Jesus was talking about, it is the scriptures that testify about me. It also reveals God's character to us. Hebrews 1:1-3, you can look that up yourself. In 2 Corinthians 4:6, talk about how God is revealed through the scriptures to us. See, all private devotions, they're not magical in a sense. And I think we mostly know that and understand that. And I think this is important for us, and it's kind of a mini epiphany, if you will, for me, because some people might be at this place and you're challenging, you're discouraged perhaps in your own devotional lifestyle, and perhaps you've given them up. The danger with thinking that their magic is this. That you begin to find this, try and look for this secret formula to the right amount of prayer and the right amount of Bible reading. And that if you just find that formula, you're just going to have great success and you're just going to have this rapturous communion with God the Father. And if you don't, then you kind of start to give up and discouragement and disappointment sets in. And then it perhaps turns into cynicism. And you not only give up and just stop reading the Bible altogether, or perhaps if you're still reading, you just kind of whip through it because you're no longer, you know, feeling this communion with God the Father anymore. But see, our longing for intimate communion with God is God-given. That's how we are created, in his image, to worship him. And it's a good thing to desire and to ask for and to pursue. And the Spirit does give us wonderful tastes of communion with the Father as we study and spend time with him. But I want us to make personal devotions a habit out of obedience to what his scripture says and out of longing to get to know him better rather than some obligation or expectation of what we're going to get out of it, okay? Because if you go in with it, that attitude that just feed me and bless me and I'm going to have all the success, there's going to be times where you're going to read through some really difficult books of like Leviticus and it might feel a little bit mundane. But if you go into it with God, I want you to open your scripture to me because I know that you are here speaking to me through this word. You're going to be blessed without even realizing it. So yes, I know there's benefits. And yes, you're going to get something out of a devotional lifestyle. But I want that to be a benefit, not the goal. Leave it as a benefit. That said, now that your motives are in check, why we study the scriptures, I'm going to give you 8 benefits of having a devotional lifestyle to boost your expectations. I told you will be blessed. I don't want that to be your motivation. But the reality is, as you study and prepare for why we should have devotional time, the scriptures just begin to flow. Number one, it keeps us from sin. Really? Yes, it does. Psalm 119:9-11 say, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. Your word I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you. You know what? we Christians have all these great ideas on I'll just pick on guys because I am one. It's a little safer. All these great ideas and of how to break off the addictions of pornography. You know what God's word says? Read his word. Your word that I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you. I'm not saying some of those other things aren't good and practical. I'm just saying that you have to have a devotional lifestyle if you want to run from sin. Number two, reading the Bible allows us to receive the desires of your heart. Ooh, now we're talking. We like that one, don't we? That can't be right, Pastor. Really? We just got to read the Bible, and I'm going to get all that stuff that I've always wanted. Yeah, let me show you. John 15:7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Now, what's the context here? Is that as you get to know Jesus Christ, and as you study his word, you're going to line up your desires with his will. This isn't just some verse to name it and claim it. You know, you get a, God, but I studied. Give me that Ferrari. Amen? This is, as you spend time in intimacy and communion with the Father, you're no longer going to desire the Ferrari. Oh, I just got to have it the same way as you used to. Number three, it equips us for battle. Marines undergo, we've got one in this room, at least one. We've got some Navy and a Marine. Army. Thank you for your service. Marines, as you know, or we can pick on any branch, you undergo rigorous training in order to prepare you for battle. And that you get weapons training, and you, after going through it, you could probably take apart and reassemble your weapon blindfolded. So that suddenly when you're faced with chaos and things going all around you, you instinctively know how to handle your weapon. It's the same way spiritually speaking. That if you never pull out the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians 6:17, how do you expect you're going to know what to do when battle comes? We've got a whole bunch of Christian privates that are out in the trenches, and they're getting shot at, and mortars are going all over their heads, and they've never even once touched their weapon. That's sad. You've got to be ready to pick up the sword of the Spirit because the enemy is launching those fiery brimstone mortars. And the fiery darts of the enemy are not stopping. Number four, reading the Bible helps us to be fruitful. We're getting into really some prosperity stuff, but I'm just telling you, this is the Word of God. Psalm 1, 2, and 3. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by the water, the streams of water, which yield its fruit in their season. Now, how about this? When our delight is in the law of the Lord, we're firmly planted by the springs, the source of life, and your leaves are not going to wither. Verse 3 continued, and whatever you do, you will prosper. Whatever he does, he prospers. That's quite a promise. I'd say that there ought to be a few in this room that have that over their mantle. Lord, whatever I'm going to do, I'm going to prosper in because I love your word. Number five. Meditating on God's word and obeying its teachings will bring success in life. Similarly related, Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. James 1:25 also says, but one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. The one that looks perfectly at the law and does will be blessed in what he does. Number six, it gives us guidance in life making you wiser than teachers. Psalm 119:97 says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have absorbed your precepts." You want the best education money can buy? Study the Word of God. I'm not saying it's bad to get a high school diploma and a college degree and go on to get your master's. I'm not saying there's wrong in any of that. But I'm telling you one thing. All of that education pales in comparison to the Word of God and what's in it. See, a thorough, repeated soaking in the Scriptures over the course of years increases your overall biblical knowledge. That's evidenced in Louis and Mady's life for sure. And it provides the fuel for the fire of worship in your life. Is that as you study His Word continually, you're going to have a different expectation and outlook on worship. And it's also going to equip you and increase your ability to draw from all parts of God's Word to apply wisdom. You're going to have Scriptures come to your mind in sticky situations. You say, "Thank you, Lord, for that." There's going to be times when you might be talking and evangelizing somebody and you don't know what to say, but the Holy Spirit recalls to your memory a verse that you read and studied one time. But if you never read it, then how can He recall it to your memory? Then He's just giving it to you. And that's not always how the Lord operates. Yes, He can do that. Number 7, it helps us to see and know Jesus. We talked about one of the benefits, one of the reasons you should read it. I'm writing it here as a point. Jesus does really want us to see and savor Him. He really does. And savoring comes through seeing, but only the eyes of our faith can see Him. This term blind faith is not really biblical, because really it's the sin in the world that causes you to be blind. And our faith is not blind. 1 Peter 1:7 through 9. Because we have this ability with our faith eyes to see something that our physical eyes cannot. We perceive into the spiritual kingdom things around us. So it's not blind. It's blind in the physical sense, maybe, sometimes. But there's a spiritual component to it. Because in Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by, and hearing by the... So as we read the Word of God, it increases our faith, which does what to us? It trains us in our faith eyes to see the glory of Jesus in everyday little things. So no longer do you just go about the walks of life and you just see a flower, but you get to see Jesus in that flower and say, "God, that is so beautiful. Thank you for making that for me." You have an appreciation for life. That as you walk around and you see somebody who's hurt and crying, you don't just see somebody in desperate need, but you have a dose of compassion because your faith eyes let you see something that is behind that situation. So as we read and study the Scripture, we need to keep looking for glory because Jesus is on every page. Number 8, it keeps us spiritually healthy. This is a general and big category. And I'm going to give a couple of analogies to help you understand spiritual health. You exercise your bodies, or some of us need to increase strength and endurance so we can look good, right? To promote general health, hopefully keep off unnecessary weight. Devotions are like exercise for our souls. They force our attention off of the distractions and pursuits of man, off of our fleshly desires, and they put our eyes on God's purposes and promises. And if you neglect this exercise, your souls are going to begin to suffer. Even if you're in shape in the physical world, your soul may be fat in a bad way. It may be obese because it's lazy and not been exercising. And this, the body in the same way in the physical, generally takes the shape of how you exercise, is that if you want to bulk up, there's different kind of routine that you have to do. If you want to lose weight and do some fat burning, there's going to be some different kind of exercise in ways to do it. Running shapes one way, weight training shapes another way. And the same is true for our soul. You can exercise reading in one passage or one book for a long time. You can go through the whole Bible over and over. You can just spend a whole, I know people that have spent their whole life devoted to one chapter of God's word. You can memorize scripture. You can write it down another way. You can take a few months to pray through related text on a certain subject or topic. And these are going to train your body in different ways. And all of this is useful. So at number 8, we close out with, or of our benefits anyway. We're not done yet. Don't get fidgety. Keeps us spiritually healthy. Question is, do we really need to do it every day? What if I just skip a few days? What isn't once a week enough when we come together Sunday mornings? Isn't that the reality for most of us, if we were honest? Well, let me flip this question around. God's word says in Psalm 1:2 that we're going to be happy if we do, because his delight is in the law of the Lord. We're going to meditate on it day and night. In God's words, they're going to revive our soul. They're going to grant wisdom. They're going to rejoice our hearts. And his word will endure forever. In Psalm 19, the word is talked about and referred to as it's more desired than gold. It's sweeter than honey in the drippings of the honeycomb. So the question shouldn't be, do we really need to read the Bible every day, but why wouldn't we want to read it every day? How many of you would like to have, oh, I don't know, a couple hundred kilograms of gold? But his word is worth more than gold. The Bible is a book that is not merely for reading. It's a book for studying so that it can be applied. So I've known readers of the word whose life did not have any fruit of it. It's kind of like chewing food without swallowing it and spitting it back out. It's kind of a nasty picture, isn't it? Some of you that are fasting are like, it doesn't matter, I'll like that image. If you make a little bit effort, if you just go down to the stream and you're just kind of sifting through some pebbles with a little pan, you might find a little bit of gold dust. But you got to dig in a little bit deeper, and you're going to be rewarded for your efforts, and you're going to find those big nuggets of gold. When a couple falls in love, hopefully this isn't new news to anyone here. There's a couple people that aren't married yet. There's generally, when you fall in love and you make your vows on your wedding day, there's just hormonal fireworks. It's wonderful. Most of you have experienced that. But when you're married, you have to cultivate delight in one another. Sometimes it takes a lot of effort. It's not always easy. But this consistent, persistent, faithful, intentional delight in pursuing of one another for better, for worse, in sickness and in health, is what really, you get this capacity of a different kind of love for each other that actually ends up being much deeper love than the emotional and hormonal fireworks of your wedding night. Similarly, devotions are one way we cultivate delight in God. So that you could probably remember the day you gave your life or first realized and had the revelation of all that Jesus had done for you. But if you stop there and you don't cultivate delight in God the Father, then devotions may seem mundane. But as you do it, over and over, you will probably be surprised about the cumulative power of a daily devotional life. So that you'll look back after 5, 10, 20, 30 years even, and you'll see that your love and awareness of God the Father has grown tremendously. Before I draw to a close, I want to give us 5 ingredients for a successful devotional time. Sorry, there's just a lot of lists this morning. It's just the way it happens. Number 1. An undistracted you. This should be obvious, but the truth is that it's not the reality for most of us. God, the creator of this whole world, gave us a manual to live this life. And how many times have we honestly tried to sit down and have fellowship and communion by reading of it? Unfortunately, not many. For those that have tried, perhaps you've been at a place where you're a little bit tired, or your phone's there, or the TV's on, or something smells good in the other room, or you know, you're too cold, or you're too hot, or there's this temptation to turn on the TV or get up and walk around, and you have a hard time just sitting there and reading his word. Listen, Jesus had a devotional life. If he needed to, how much more do we? How often did he go away and spend time in prayer in a secluded place? Matthew 26:36, Jesus went away with the disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." Mark 1:35, very early in the morning while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he had prayed. Luke 5:16, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. We need an undistracted us if we're going to expect something to come out of a devotional lifestyle. Secondly, we need God. The good news is that he is always there. We have his spirit living on the inside of us, who is our personal teacher, John 14:26. And though he is king and sovereign, he dwells with the humble of heart in us, peasly little human beings. He comes down under this new covenant, and he's taken up residence within us. But one thing you can do in your devotional time is to keep it God-centered, is to constantly look for Jesus Christ. As I've said, and Louis often quotes this, is that Jesus has been found on, or says this, that Jesus is found on every single page of the Word. Is that if rather than just seeing how fast you can read through it, or seeing how many chapters you can read, look for Jesus. Keep it God-centered is actually make this time about God, not about just reading the words on the page. Number three, your Bible. Having a regular time to get in the Word will help us build perseverance. Scripture is constantly reminding us that real Christianity is more about a marathon, not a sprint. And the daily task of reading his Word is really just an extension of what we do on Sunday mornings, or to prepare us for it. How many of you kind of misunderstand this, but the Word, as it was written, the epistles especially, were written to be read at church. They were written to be for Christian believers when they would get together, and they were to be publicly read. And so we privately read what we see, what we have in the Bible, in order to remember and to rehearse what we've already listened to publicly. Is that it actually will change what you get out of a Sunday morning. Am I right, Louis? Curtis confirms as well. Is that no longer am I just sitting up here or standing up here reading God's words and blabbing on and on, but as you have verses to back up everything that is being said, hopefully, the Holy Spirit is just confirming and speaking to you at new depths. So you know what? I'm going to say this. I'm going to become a better preacher when you study the Word. Scripture is the Word of God for the body of Christ. Get a Bible, open it, and study it. Number four, prayer. You want to miss God in your Bible reading? Skip prayer. Prayer helps us to stay dependent on God. You can skip prayer, and you can miss out on all of the intimacy in God's Word. So I would encourage us all to, as you open his Word, before you do anything, say, God, open it to me. Reveal yourself to me on the pages. Speak to me as I spend time with you. Lastly, time. Whatever the format of daily devotions, the important thing is that they are daily devotions. As the name implies, that we must be truly devoted to God the Father, and this must happen daily. I want us to think for a moment. Those of you may already be thinking, well, I don't have time for devotions. I would counter that by saying you don't have time not to. And I would also say this, let's stop using time as an excuse, because the reality is that we all have time. Let's flip it and say, I don't prioritize that. Because we all have personal time and things that we could carve out of our day for God the Father if we would realize the importance of God the Father speaking to us and the importance of this word, then we would prioritize it. Now let's practice something. Rather than saying, I don't have time to read my Bible, let's flip it and say, I don't prioritize reading my Bible. And it sounds a whole lot worse that way, doesn't it? That's the reality of why we do not make daily devotions of great importance in our life. It's not because we don't have time. Turn off the TV. You know what? I would even go this far as to say, you say, okay, well, I don't watch TV. I don't do any games. I don't have time for sports. I don't have time. If you really are that busy, then I would tell you this. Carve out 30 minutes of sleeping and you will be rewarded for it. You have time. We all have the same amount of time each and every day, 24 hours. And I would say the only person who could say, I don't have time to spend more time in the Word is somebody who spends 24 hours in the Word. So if you spend 24 hours in the Word, then great. You could come up to me and say, Pastor, I really don't have time. And I'll say, great. I'm glad you've devoted your whole entire life and you've given up eating and going to the bathroom and sleeping and all of that to study God's Word. Great. You're an inspiration to me. But if that's not you, say, I don't have priority. I don't prioritize it. Because that will really show you and begin to reveal where your heart is. Because God's word is God's very words. Would you stand to your feet? Hebrews 11:6 says, He rewards those who earnestly seek him. I want us to be a church that is earnestly seeking God the Father. We do this through prayer. We do it through scripture reading. We do it in worship Sunday mornings. But I don't want us to be something that happens in our life once a week. So many people come to church and they say, God, I'm earnestly seeking you for an hour and a half. We want to be a church that is earnestly seeking God with all of our heart, our soul, our strength, and our mind. And I would encourage you, even if you start with 10 minutes a day, set aside some time to read a chapter, read a verse, study it, memorize it. Spend a little time in prayer. And God will bless you. And he will return that time to you that you think you don't have.